A smile turned upside down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It is no secret that investors have been none too happy lately. And really, why would they be? Several major banks are a mess. It seems like the government's pouring money into a black hole when it comes to companies such as AIG. Mortgage foreclosures are up big time, and Uncle Sam seems to be involved in a lot of it. This fallout is certainly not a shining moment for capitalism. The Dow fell about 300 points. It's at 67.63. NASDAQ and S&P 500 shares lost big chunks, too. All told, American markets were down 4 or 5% yesterday. Today, Asian markets closed down for the most part. The Hang Seng lost more than 2.25%. In Europe, the CAC 40 slightly higher. The DAX up just a bit. The FTSE, coming off of a big loss yesterday, is down by more than a percent, about a percent and a third at this hour. All right, let's bring in David Buick, a market strategist at the Cantor Index in London. David, with this seeming free fall that's been going on, well, what's going on?
Where everybody's trying to find an excuse why they should maintain the level of commitment they have to their investment portfolios. And they're finding it very difficult when you've got a tsunami wave of indifferent to poor economic data hitting you every single day. And until that actually stops and we can see the green buds of recovery, we are going to be in decline for some time, continuing to test new lows.
Where's the light at the end of the tunnel?
I think psychological barriers, whether it's 7,000 in the Dow, are quite meaningless at the moment. What I think does matter is, when's it going to stop? When are the authorities around the world, whether they be the central banks, the governments, the world leaders, are they going to find a successful combination of their efforts that is going to instill confidence back into the financial sector? The moment that happens, the recovery will be dramatic. And at the moment, there is not the slightest sign of it. The world leaders and everybody except the central banks, who I think are doing a brilliant job, are behaving in a reactive way, and they are applying knee-jerk initiatives instead of a coordinated approach.
What do you want to see?
I want to see, basically, all the banks drop their toxic assets in an international cesspit, which is costs money for them to do so, for the opportunity of many of these toxic bonds to be netted off, some who own them and some who are short of them, so that we can come to an end game and know exactly what the losses are that have been incurred. When that happens, you will find that fresh private capital will be attracted to the banks, and from there you will see recovery come forward in a pretty dramatic manner.
So we're hearing reports this morning that the Obama administration is looking at a plan to create a so-called bad bank with a blend of private and public funding to absorb the toxic assets. What's your take on the plan?
The bad bank, I think, is again a parochial way of handling it. It's very good for the United States of America. But as I say, this is not a domestic problem. Everybody is very keen to point the finger of suspicion at the United States of America for triggering this problem. My attitude is all the international banks required very little encouragement. And in their own way, they're every bit as involved. And therefore, if you've had an international problem, you need to sort it out on an international basis and not on a parochial basis.
All right. David Buick, market strategist at the Cantor Index in London. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Things on the radar today that could move the stock market. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke speaks about policy direction, and Wall Street will be all ears. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and Budget Director Peter Orszag go before Congress to talk about the fiscal 2010 spending plan. And automakers are to report their February sales numbers today. We know this foreclosure crisis began when speculators and subprime borrowers paid too much for all those homes. But there's a second wave of foreclosures now. Responsible home buyers who've lost their jobs and income due to the fallout. Struggling big bank Citigroup announced this morning a plan to help homeowners who've been laid off. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Citigroup will lower mortgage payments for people who have lost their jobs and have stopped making payments on their house. Those borrowers would pay an average of $500 a month. That's about a third of a typical payment for mortgages that would qualify for the plan. But it's only a temporary reprieve, just 3 months. After the 3 months, Citigroup says it will work individually with homeowners who are still unemployed to come up with the best payment option on their mortgage. The plan only applies to mortgages owned and serviced by City Mortgage. The company says it expects to help thousands of struggling homeowners in the next 2 years. Everyone else will have to turn their hopes to President Obama. In the coming days, he's expected to unveil a massive plan to help homeowners modify their loans. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
We've heard a lot in recent months about magazines closing. Reader's Digest is doing just the opposite now. It launched a new title, Fresh Home. A health and wellness publication called Best You kicks off in a few weeks. With the publishing industry in the dump, the move is a gamble, though. Reader's Digest might not have a choice. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Reader's Digest has about $2 billion in debt. Ratings agencies like Standard & Poor's say it's getting harder for the company to pay it back. Still, S&P's Hal Diamond says chasing new readers makes sense.
The core business in the past contributed the lion's share of profits, and now that that core business is in a steady decline.
With the economy in the dumps, it may seem an odd time to launch new magazines. Robert Boynton is a journalism professor at New York University. He says Fortune magazine launched the year after the 1929 Wall Street crash, and it takes years for a magazine to make money anyway.
All the people who start building when the boom is well in evidence probably have actually missed the great time to break into the market. The great time to break into the market is oftentimes when things look worse.
Boynton says the glossies are losing readers exhausted by the pursuit of the perfect lifestyle. Reader's Digest's more down-to-earth offerings, he says, could be just what they're looking for. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.